What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Nurse-ish podcast. This is your host, Tiana, and I have my girl, Kaylin, co-hosting with me.
Hey, guys. So before we get started, we just ask that everyone like, subscribe, and share our podcast.
Matters discussed on this podcast have no reflection or association with the institutions that we've worked for or currently work for.
With that said, let's get started. Welcome back to the Nurse-ish podcast. We have season 2, episode 3, titled Financial Preparation for Millennials, where we'll be talking about finances, budgeting, investing, and a lot of this is coming from our own personal experiences, plus research that we have done as well. So we just want to kind of go over that with you guys and give you our point of view, some tips to help, especially now with COVID going on and the economic downfall that we've all been seeing with job losses and stuff like that. So it's pretty important, I feel like, now, super critical to have your finances in order and making sure your investments are in order, budgeting, everything needs to be in order, especially coming into this new year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get started with the first topic of finances. So I really feel like kind of finances, a lot of people don't really like to get into detail about it, you know, or like be open about talking about it. Yeah. So I guess we can first start off with, in general, that you need to be living within your means. Mm-hmm. In general, with finances, you need to live within your means and never live up to someone else's expectation just because you see what other people are doing, especially now today with Instagram and all these celebrities and Instagram models and stuff that have all this designer. It's like everyone wants to be kind of tit for tat and, you know,
keep up.
And I don't think that's necessary. Like, if you can't afford to have this designer bag, then that's a-okay. Like, it's not the end of the world. Like, you can still be fly as hell with, you know, non-name brand clothing.
Yep.
So that's just really important, living within your means. You'll constantly be in a rat race if you're trying to live up to other people's expectations. Then you could just find yourself in a freaking financial hole.
Yeah, paying off debt. Because what a lot of people don't know is that a lot of these Instagram people, they don't even have it. Like, they put on facades to make it seem like, you know, that they're making this amount of money or that they're driving this car or that, you know, they're wearing this designer. And a lot of what we see online is not actually the truth. Now, some people do have it, but a lot of people, if they do get it, they're taking it out on credit and people are falling into these pools of debt trying to maintain an image that they can't afford.
Exactly. So even scammers. And half these girls on Instagram, they be having men pay for the stuff that they be wearing. So it's like, you spending your hard-earned money that you busting your ass for, and these women out here are getting men to pay for it. And given there are, of course, people out here that pay for it on their own, but majority of the time, these girls are having people pay for it. So it's just like, just find your
balance. Don't even try to keep
it. Absolutely. So we can talk about assets versus liability, which a lot of people may not know what an asset is, what a liability is, but basically an asset is something that generates wealth, and you want your income from your assets to basically cover your monthly expenses, whereas a liability is something that is costing you money. So that's very important to know the different two and have a balance between the two. Make sure you have stuff in your assets. And if you do have stuff in your liability column, just making sure that your assets are helping cover those expenses. So an example of assets is like real estate property, stocks, bonds, intellectual property, and examples.
You said intellectual property?
Yeah.
What's that? Do you know what that is?
I actually don't.
I'm about to look it up because I've never heard of that, but it sounds like something I want to know about.
So I know some hold on,
look, it's coming up right now. So it's a work or invention that is a result of creativity, such as a manuscript or design to which it has rights.
And even like you're like the masters to like music,
yeah, so
it's
like
considered one of those, I believe.
Oh, okay. So that's just a different word for it. Okay.
What I was going to say. So liability is an example, or like cars who that is called.
Yeah, they depreciate over time.
That's, that's the biggest liability that anybody in this world can have. And also homes. And when we say homes, which I learned from this book, it's called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Really good book to read about finances. But basically, you have a house and you own your home, but that's considered a liability because you're coming out of your pocket to pay for this house, and it's going towards your mortgage to the bank.
It's not making you money.
It's not making you any type of money. Like, given that you may grow equity over time, but that may take some time to grow equity where you'll, the price of your house goes up and you'll get that money. But in any other way, like, it's considered a liability. Now, if you have a rental property or multiple rental properties where you're renting this out to somebody and they're paying the mortgage and a little bit or a little bit over it, and then you can start using that to pay for your own mortgage that you're living in, then that can be an asset. But if you're coming strictly out of your pocket and you're not getting nothing in return, then that's a liability.
Yep, so it's always good to know the difference between the two. Moving into good debt versus bad debt. So good debt is defined as money owed for things that can help build wealth or increase income over time, such as student loans, mortgages, or a business loan. Now, I kind of feel iffy about the student loan part because I feel like it depends on what you major in. I feel like sometimes student loans can be a good investment if you choose the right major, but if you choose the wrong major, in a way, I feel like it can be a bad debt.
Absolutely.
And then bad debt refers to things like credit cards or other consumer debt that do little to improve your financial income. So to me, I would say, and listen, I'm no financial advisor, and I'm not here to tell you exactly what to do to improve your financial position, but just based off of experience and educated myself, I think the major key to avoiding bad debt is really to avoid credit card debt if you can. Now, I know the major question a lot of people are going to ask is how can you build your credit without credit card debt or opening some form of credit? So the answer to that is that you really can't. You have to. It sucks because you have to take out or open up a line of credit in order to build your credit. When I first started, like as a young adult, when I got my first car, a lot of people, they were telling me, like a lot of the banks, they were telling me that I have soft credit. Like, your credit is so soft. That's because I didn't have any accounts open. I think I had like a phone line only, but that's not strong enough for them. So the key to that, I would say, is that you have to be smart about what credit cards or what lines of credit that you do open. I definitely would discourage people to open up a credit card for like stores, like regular shopping, stores, like fashion stores, or like Nordstrom, Macy's. That's one of the worst decisions you can make because everything you buy from those stores are liabilities, right?
Yeah, for real.
They're all liabilities. None of that can make you money for the most part, unless you're like flipping things. So I would definitely discourage on doing that. Me, I think one of my first credit cards, I had like a car credit card. So to me, I feel like that was, unfortunately, well, I think it was more so of a better credit card to get because, you know, I'm using it to keep my car going. And I had like a little cheap car at the time. But basically, try to get a credit card where you can't just use anywhere unless you just need an emergency credit card. I have a few different credit cards now. But definitely don't get a Nordstrom's, don't get a Macy's, don't get one where you can just buy clothes and shoes. That's not really a good investment. I definitely would say get one where you can get a cash reward back. That's one of the smartest things. Like, if you learn how to work those credit cards, you can actually come up
a lot
off of those credit cards. Yep. You'll end up making money off of the credit cards instead of owning it. But you would have to make sure you clear off your monthly, how much you owe monthly, in order to see that.
Yeah. That my best friend, Zara, she has, I don't know, I think it's Chase or Citibank, one of the two. But it's basically a cash back credit card. And we were booking a trip to Mexico and she got the whole trip for free off her rewards.
Yep.
And I've she heard just of that pays too. Off her, I just pay off your credit card balance every month, like you say. And a lot of people, they use their credit cards just for their everyday things, just to help build their credit. So whether it's getting gas or going to the grocery store, and just pay it off for that month.
Yeah, because you already know that, for the most part, you should already have that money aside. Like, you know that you are getting groceries every month. You know that you're getting gas. So if you use your credit card, just take that money from your debit account and just pay it
off.
That's the smartest thing to do. Now, for the people who, you know, you find yourself in a bind where you can't pay off your credit card, your entire credit card every month, and I'm not going to lie, that has been me and it is currently me.
For sure.
At the moment. Always try to keep your credit usage less than 30%. Now, that's something I'm really good about, and that really does help your credit. Like, you will see your credit jump if you at least keep your credit, your credit usage less than 30%. And then for the people, and I'll go over this really quickly, but so with credit, to build your credit, a lot of people are like, how do you build your credit? A lot of people have a hard time doing it. So what I had to do, I just educated myself to see what makes up your credit. So the major six categories is payment history, credit card utilization, derogatory marks, age of credit, total accounts of credit that you have, and then hard inquiries. So for the payment history, we already touched on that. Make sure you pay your credit cards off every month, even if, and I hate to tell people to pay just the minimum because I don't really agree with that, but even if you are paying the minimum, just at least pay that, because if you don't, if you are late on your credit card one time, they will ding it on your credit, and literally that can really mess up your credit. And you can't really bounce back from it unless you just keep paying everything else on time. The second one, credit card utilization. We just touched on that. Always keep it less than 30%. The lower amount of credit usage that you use, the better. That's going to increase your credit score. Derogatory marks is basically when you don't pay. So say if you have a credit card and you just stop paying it altogether, they send it to a creditor or a debt company collections. They'll send it to collections, and then that's how you get a derogatory mark on your account. Now, those don't drop off until 7 years. I think it takes 7 years for those to drop off. And then even if you do settle, once it's already on your credit, it really doesn't affect, you can't really improve your credit if you pay it off once it's already on there. So a lot of people just leave those on their accounts and wait for them to drop off after the 7 years. Age of credit, of course, the longer you've had credit established, the better. The total accounts that you have, and I don't know why this is the case, but the more, I have a ton of accounts because I have student loans, so I have more than 12 accounts open right now, and I'm in the highest category for that for some reason. Like, you would think the lower the amount of accounts you had, it would be better, but it's not that. And then the last category is hard inquiries. So that's when you're applying for credit. So say if you go car shopping, you don't want to shop all over the place for a month. I think they give you 2 weeks to shop for, as long as it's all related to cars. I think that falls under one inquiry. I can't remember. But try not to run your credit too much, basically, because if you do, it affects your credit, and that stays on there for 2 years. Yep.
That's some good information. I feel like a lot of young people, it's not really something that parents teach you when you're a child is about credit. A lot of people don't learn that until they're actual adults. So that's really good.
And then I come from a family where a lot of people credits, nobody could co-sign for you. Nobody could really help you with nothing because everybody credit was messed up. So I'm as a young adult, I just thought about it, why is everybody credit messed up? I looked into it myself and I made sure I didn't make those mistakes. I just had to educate myself on it. And my credit is pretty good now.
That's good. Yeah. So also with we were talking about how cars are liabilities, and as soon as you drive a car off the lot, it depreciates, which means that it drops in its value a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I had read this saying that said you shouldn't pay more than 30% of your income on a car or 15% of your gross income, monthly income, on payments. So it's if you,
That's a good one. So 15% of your gross income?
Of your gross monthly income on payments, on your monthly payments. So 15% of your gross monthly income on your payments.
Okay, good. I didn't know that. So now that's gonna be my budget when I get
a new car. And it's just like, why, like, you know, why are you having a $700-$800 note? And
girl, I would never.
In general, like, even if you are making freaking $8,000-$9,000 a month, it's just like, first of all, with cars, it's like you barely drive this thing. A lot of people, you Uber everywhere if you're going out most of the time now. You literally go to work and you come home, and that's really all you really do in your car. So it's like, it's such a waste of money that I'm learning. And I'm like, after I lease my Benz, I'm like, I don't want no note over $600 again. I can't.
Yeah, you should. I'm cheap. I always try to find a deal. But the major thing I would say, so even when it comes to like leasing and buying cars, so honestly, I think the major thing, because of course we all know, even with leasing an apartment, that's a liability as well. But even when you do buy, it is good to buy. But I feel like a lot of Americans, we will buy the car and we'll pay on it for 6 years, and then on that 6 year, we'll get another car,
right? And it's,
that's what we got to get out of the habit of doing it, because if you pay it off in the 6 years and then you just drive your car until it don't drive no more for 10 years, then that's a smart decision. But it doesn't make sense to buy the entire car just to get another one in 6 years. Right. If that's the case, then you should at least, because you would have saved money.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like choosing, if you're going to buy a car, make sure you buy something that you will want in the next 5 years.
Yeah, and that's dependable and that will actually last. Yeah. Because some of these cars really don't last when you think about it. Like, after 6 years, some cars, you don't have a choice. But to get a new one. You got to get a new one.
Yeah, that's very true.
So you want to move on to budgeting?
Oh, yeah, I just want to say one more thing, though, too, about staying at home. Like, after college or whatever the case may be, like, if you can stay home and live with your parents and you have that option, I feel like you should do that, then rather than go get your own apartment where you're spending thousands and not able to really save and, you know, save up to do something that you really want to do. I don't think spending that much money fresh out of college is a smart thing to do. So if you're able and you have parents that are allowing you to stay home, then you should just do that and save up your money and start investing and maybe buy a house or whatever you want to do with your life.
Yeah, and it's, everyone's situation is different, of course, but if you are in a loving environment or an environment where you can grow and, you know, you have the capabilities or you have family who allow you to save your money, definitely take advantage of it. I know at some point, depending on your age, it's almost natural where you kind of want to go off by yourself. Right. You want, you know, just be an adult, because that's what we're told. You're an adult once you get your own place and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, stay home if you can, because you can definitely save an extra stack or plus a month.
Absolutely.
For sure.
So we can get into budgeting. Anything else you have to say about finances?
Nope.
Okay. Do you want to start off budgeting?
Yeah. So with me, I try to budget. Some months I have good months, and I'm not gonna lie, some months I had bad ones. But in order to budget, I feel like what I had to do is I had to look at how much money I was bringing home after taxes each month. That way I can get an idea of how much money I make. So all you have to do is take your whatever paychecks you make every month. So your two checks, add it up, and that's how you know what you make monthly.
And then I write down my monthly.
After taxes, don't do before taxes, because that's not going to help
at all.
That's not what you actually pocket and bring home. You know, it doesn't deposit into your account. So I look at that, and then I also look at my monthly expenses. So how much my rent is, how much my car insurance is. I literally everything. I even add like how much I pay spent on gas a month, how much I will put towards my groceries a month. Like all of that has its own category. That way, I have a realistic idea of what I'm spending each month. And a lot of times you can look at your bank account. Like I have Wells Fargo, and they literally break down all of that stuff for me.
Yeah.
So sometimes you don't have to even go through each thing that you spend on like your bank statement. You can just, I think there's a category most banks do have where they'll show you if it's food or if it's that. And I really had to check myself with eating out. That's something I worked on this year. Girl, I was, when I tell you horrible, I was spending like $400 to $500 a month.
Yeah, that girl. I was ashamed when I looked at mine. This is the kind of new what Bank of America has going on with the app, but I looked at that, especially like, well, when COVID first hit, I was doing not too bad. It was like $100 when for COVID, but then when stuff started opening back up, girl, I was spending more than $600.
That's
It's just
crazy.
stupid. And it's like, why? Like, it's just stupid. It's just flat out stupid. There's no explanations for it.
$600 that could have went to a stock, $600 that could have went,
Exactly,
like,
to saving for a house, like
yeah,
anything.
just wasteful. And the thing is that you don't ever feel like you're spending that much, because when you go out, it's $50 here,
Yeah.
$30 there, but it adds
It
up.
adds up. So I recommend definitely like getting a budgeting app, or like seeing if your bank has it. Like it just gives you a more realistic output on your finances, and it gives you a really good insight, and it makes you want to correct the things that you're doing wrong.
And girl, when I tell you my weekly budget is so low, like, so for the most part, I don't really eat out, unless sometimes I do, like on the weekends. And this month last month I was pretty bad with it. But for the most part, I go grocery shopping almost like every 2 weeks, and I buy a ton of stuff. I'm always cooking because I'm off for 4 days out the week. So I make sure I prep my lunch for work, I prep my breakfast for work, and I cook dinner. I literally do not play. So I don't have a reason to really ever spend money. Like, I don't really leave out of the house. I always eat at home for the most part. I never eat when I'm at work, because that was my problem. I was eating at work like twice a day.
Yeah,
And it adds up. And
that
then when I go home, I'm
happens.
also ordering out. So I don't do any of that. And I barely give myself any money to spend during the week, because it's like, what do you need to buy? I already have gas in my car. What do I need to buy? You know what I mean? Like, it's nothing really to buy. As long as I have food in my house, I'm good. So I barely give myself a budget. Every once in a while, I might treat myself to something, but I have almost everything I need now.
That's a good thing to go, 'cause like I also noticed, like, I don't know. I don't like when I be cooking. I tend to go to the grocery store damn near every day, and then I looked at how much I was spending at the grocery store for the month. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it's not that serious. And I just think that that sounds smart though, to go grocery shopping every 2 weeks and just get everything that you need, you know,
I
instead
write a
of just keep
list.
on going. 'Cause like some days I really don't know what I want to eat.
Oh yeah, I literally, but I know for the most part what I'm probably gonna eat. Like, so I'll buy, if I know I eat chicken, I know I'll probably make at least one meal of chicken a week, or within 2 weeks, definitely. I'll buy, shrimp or crab meat or whatever, and that lasts us for 2 weeks. I'll buy a ton of meats and I'll just put it in the freezer. And in my mind, I also kind of plan, like, okay, I can make this with this. I'll buy this side to go with this. And eventually it just adds up. But I feel like, well, now that I live with my boyfriend and Zuri, she eats food now, I feel like we spend like $400 a month in groceries.
That's not too bad though, especially if you're not eating out too and you're mostly just cooking then. But when you add that
Yeah.
on top and you're still eating out, it's like,
It's too
yeah.
much.
Guys, to sum up the budgeting part of the podcast, basically we're going to come after taxes, calculate how much that is, then you're going to get together all your bills, your insurance, your mortgage or whatever, your rent, whichever one that you have, your car note, all your monthly bills, and you're going to put that money aside and then see how much money you have left over and give yourself a weekly budget. Make sure you add in your groceries, your outside dining, the glamour part, getting your nails done, or just other outside, how much you want to spend, like if you're going to buy clothes or little extra things like that. So just set yourself a weekly budget. Put the rest in your saving or investing account. Yeah. And speaking of that, we can get
To
into the
investing.
investing part of the podcast episode.
So I just want to start off by saying, so we went into, I think we discussed, so when you save, you should save about 3 to 6 months of your expenses. That should go into a savings account. But once you already have that emergency savings fund or account set, your money should be going into an investing account. There are a ton of different ones for rookies, people who don't know anything about investing. Basically, you can make money off of your money. Your money can just sit in an account and make money because it's tied into the stock market. Most of them are, at least. So I'm a big advocate for investing. Actually, I'm very new to it, I would say. I want to say I'm only 2 years or maybe 1 year into it, almost 2 years. I've done, of course, your 401k and 403bs. So I definitely recommend if your job is offering, especially if they're matching a 401k or 403b, match them, because literally it's free money. It's free money, and all the money does is just increase over time anyway. Like, I'm looking at my accounts now, and you just watch it grow.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is one thing that can happen, though. So, with your 401k and the 403b, do they put that into stocks?
You can decide. You get an option to choose. Mine are tied into stock, but you can choose if you want to be high risk, moderate risk, or low risk.
Okay. So with those investment accounts, they definitely grow over time. But like with right now, with the coronavirus and this pandemic going on, we had a recession. Basically, not a real recession, but the economy kind of fails. So with when that happens, the stock market drops and your 401k is going to drop. And that's just something that is going to happen when you're doing that type of investment. Yep. So you don't be surprised if that does happen.
And don't be scared and pull your money out either, because then you would just literally be losing. Typically, the stock market is going to go back up. Just like now, my money has already made its money itself back. Like, it's back to normal. Yeah, actually, mm-hmm. It's past that.
Yep. So absolutely.
Don't be too scared, because a lot of people will just pull their money immediately, like, oh my goodness, I'm losing money. That's a part of the stock market. It goes up, it goes down. And even with my stocks, like, I bought Tesla and Apple, and as soon as I bought Tesla, guess what happened? It dropped. Girl, I was so blown. So I literally just deleted the app off my phone, and I didn't even watch it anymore, because I was just like so blown. Like, wow. As soon as I try to get into investing things into stocks or money into stocks, that happened. But it's already past what I bought it for. So that just goes to show that you have to be in it for the long run, for the most part. Some people, they do like day stocks or day trades and stuff.
Yeah, I've done that before. So Ty had told me about Robinhood a while ago, but then my boyfriend had brought it up again in March, and that's when we both got into the stock market. And through the course of time, I've bought some long-term ones. In the beginning, I was just kind of getting used to the stock market. I've done day trades. I've done option-type calls, puts. So it's just different type of things that you can do within the stock market. But the stock market is basically a gamble. So, but I feel like it's a good gamble when you're investing into a company that you know long-term is going to be a great company.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like Ty said, like your money literally just grows and you're literally just sitting there, and sometimes it does dip and sometimes you do lose money, but that's just like the 401k as well. It's always going to fluctuate and go up and down, but I think investing into the stock market is probably one of the smartest things to do, and I wish I would have known about it, you know, a long time ago. And I wish my parents would have bought me stocks when I was a kid, you know.
No, really. There's so many things that I wish I would have known about, or that I would have taken serious, like even down to the 401k. I've always had jobs that have offered that, even as a young adult, and I didn't take it serious. Like, I would put money into it, or I would let them take money out, but then like if I needed the money, I would just pull from it, like, oh, well, yeah. This is always my emergency fund. And now I low-key regret it, because I have, like, coworkers who, you know, they're, like, 30, and they already have, like, 80K and 100K in their 401K. I'm like,
that's good. That's
how am I going to get there? But, I mean, it's better to start later than never.
Yeah, absolutely, because you got some people who even, like, and what's really important, too, is entrepreneurs. So when you're an entrepreneur, you have to find an investment account to get into, because you're an entrepreneur. Like, you're not going to have your jobs doing the 401k for you. You have to find these for yourself. So I see a lot of the time these entrepreneurs that are older, they don't have any investment account, and you're getting closer to retirement age.
Oh, wow.
You have nothing to look forward to. So that's something that's really important as an entrepreneur. Make sure that you find an investment account to put your money into.
And then they have accounts like apps like Acorn and Stash. And basically, you can start an IRA through those accounts. You can open up investment accounts for your children. You can, they even have the program where they connect to your bank account and whatever you spend, whatever change, it builds up and they'll invest that into the stock market for you. And literally, you can turn around like in a year, you'll have a stack. And not even like you look at the account like, wow, where did all this money come from?
Oh, my
So.
bank does that, but my bank does it with like my checking and my savings. So like if I buy something, it rounds to the nearest dollar and then the rest of the money goes into my savings. But I like that better to go into the
I
stock
have both.
market.
So with my savings and checking account, whenever I swipe my card, a dollar goes into my savings account. So I have it for that. And then I have Acorn as well. And then I have IRA, but I have a financial advisor. Actually, that's something new. As of August, I have a financial advisor, and he literally went through everything with me with my finances. And he came up with a plan for me. And I think he said that 8 to 12% of my income should be going to investing for retirement. And a lot of people
So,
don't, what you say?
I was just going to ask where you can go ahead, but my question was, where did you find him?
So my sister recommended him to me because she invested in a life insurance policy. And once I had my daughter, I was like, it's important for me to have life insurance. A lot of people don't even understand the importance of having it because a lot of times most people's mindset was like, well, when I die, I mean, I don't got to worry about it. But you don't understand how you having one life insurance policy that's worth maybe, say, $1 million, literally that can change your entire family's legacy when you pass away. That can put your child into a different position. That can put your grandchildren into a different position. And honestly, that's how a lot of wealthy people have money to invest in. You need money to make money. So a lot of times when their family members leave or pass away, their grandparents are leaving them millions of dollars, all from life insurances. And I won't get too deep into it, but there's different types of life insurance policies. You can do whole versus term. Of course, whole life insurance is the best because with that you can build equity and pull money from that versus the term one. But term is typically cheaper. Yeah, it's life insurance can get deep. I
That's
would
something I
recommend
need to
for
look into because
it.
I have looked nothing into that before.
Yeah, and it's honestly not that much money a month when you think about it. Like I know some jobs offer life insurance as well because I have one through my job, and then my advisor said that I need one that's outside of my job as well. So I have it set up that if something happens to me, my daughter will be good.
Absolutely. Very. It's a good point.
Yeah, and people don't even think of that as an investment, but it is, especially when you
Absolutely,
do
yeah. I
whole
wouldn't have thought of that.
life insurance. You can come up, people really come up off of it. And of course, it's not, I'm not saying that as if it's worth the person passing away because nobody wants their family member
You
to
could
pass
end
away
up
at
on
all.
SNAP.
Right.
All those people on SNAP, they'd be killing their husbands and wives for the life insurance policy. Hell
It's a good investment. It's definitely a good investment for your family. Like sometimes I feel like we have to get out of the mindset of only thinking about ourselves and think about your children and your legacy that you're going to leave behind. You want your family to be good if something were to happen to you.
Absolutely, don't be selfish.
Yep. And honestly, you could pay, especially when you start young and if you're healthy, depending on how much you take out. Like if you take out a half a million, you're paying like what, $10 a month sometimes. Like it's not that expensive.
That's good to know. That's real good to know. So,
Yep.
also real estate properties, that's a whole nother topic, but
That's the way to invest.
finding cheap rental properties that you just rent out to people, like that's another investment too. Like at the end of the day, something that cannot be created is land.
Yeah.
You know, how much land is in this world is how much land is in this world. You can't go into the middle of the ocean and farm some damn land. Maybe one day
Not
somebody
yet,
will
right?
do that. Not yet, but for right now, what land is on this earth is land here. So you owning land and you owning property, like that's very major. So invest, try to find some real estate properties to invest in. That's something that I do have on like my list of things that I do want to
Yeah,
do.
that's my
I
long-term goal.
still, long as definitely a long-term goal, but you have to do a lot of research into it and just kind of get your finances in order to be able to get to that point.
Nothing's going to become, you know, overnight. I'm not saying you need to be 20 years old with a rental property. That would be nice.
But yeah.
To be realistic, like, that's probably not going to happen. But put that on your goal and just work towards it.
Yeah, that's definitely my long-term list. Like, I've educated myself enough on it. But with me now, I feel like it's just making the move to do it. And absolutely. A part of me is scared because it is an investment. And you are taking a risk.
Yeah, that's true. But, yeah, so... Any other things you have for investing?
Mm-mm, I feel like I pretty much went over it. We already went over stocks. Now, I'm not an expert with stocks. Like, I'm a beginner, so I can't really give much advice. Just know that for the most part, you're going to be in it for the long term. And just because the market dips doesn't mean you should pull your money away.
Yeah. One thing I did learn with this, like, with the stock market, you can literally start with $10, $100. Like, you don't need hella money in the stock market to make money. Like, you can start with a small amount.
And you, I also learned you don't have to buy the entire stock. Like, you can buy half a stock.
Yeah, you can. So now, yeah, they have it to where you can, like, say you want to buy something within Tesla.
Yeah.
Tesla, the stock price right now, I think it's like 500 something. You don't want to spend that. You can just say, okay, I want to invest $100 into Tesla. And you're still going to make money off that. Yep. You're not going to be making, you know, a whole lot. But it's still, you're still earning money off it. Whether, and then you have your money in your savings account that ain't making nothing. You're making 3 cents a freaking year.
Girl, that's something I don't know why mentally I have to work on that. Because, of course, I'm not at my goal yet of where I need my savings, my emergency savings to be. But it's like... For some reason, it's nice knowing that you have that money there. So the idea of just putting my money in other accounts freaks me out. But I've started to get more comfortable with it because my financial advisor was like, Ty, like, you have to, you cannot keep putting your money into the savings account. Like you said, you only make 3 cents off of it a year when you could put it in an investment account and make a stack off of it a year or a couple hundred. Like, you have to be smarter.
And that's something. That's something, you know. And with the stock market, it's like you can literally just buy a long-term stock and just, you don't even have to watch it. Yeah, like, don't even watch it. I
don't watch it no more.
Every day. I'm on the stock market every single day. Because sometimes I do, like, I get kind of deep into it because I do, like, options. And I just been trying to learn and do all that. So I watch my stock every single day. I've doubled my money from the stock market from when I started in March.
Oh, good.
Something that I'm proud of. You see other people in the stock market that be making like thousands a day. It's like, dang, mm-hmm. I want to get there, but you gotta start somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't even look at it every day because I will stress myself out. But I don't do options. I don't do day trading. I'm in it for the long term. So regardless, I'm not pulling my money out of this anytime soon. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to let it sit. But I do need to, it's time for me to buy some more now that I think about it.
Yeah.
I just got to figure out what I want to invest in. I really want to invest in marijuana companies. I just got to find which ones. That's really especially what I need to put my money to.
All the states legalizing it now. So mm-hmm. it's just finding the one that is a good one to, you know, invest in. And I know it's just the stock market goes deep though, because you got to look at these companies, like how much debt they owe, and you know that plays a lot into the company as well. Like, you know, you have this company that's making this amount of money, but they owe so much in debt, so it's kind of like they don't have a good like revolving cycle of money. And that's something also that you have to look into with companies.
Yeah, and that's why also I like Robinhood, because they give you the history. They give you articles. Like, if something new is releasing from a company, they'll give you articles. Or if a CEO is leaving, like, they keep you updated. So that way you know what's going on with that stock, with that company. I don't know. I really do like Robinhood. Mm-hmm. It's a good
app. Yahoo Finance is a good one, too, that has a lot of articles on there as well. That one's real good. And that's just the website to go to, yahoofinance.com.
Oh, it's a website. Okay. I'll look into it. It's weird because I get into my moods where I'm like really into my finances and then I'll forget about it. But
yeah. It's a lot. Life it's a lot. A lot to remember. Damn, like, I got to eat good. I got to work out. I got to go to work. I got to invest. It's a lot. So, you know, just do it at a steady pace. Don't stress yourself out. You know, do what you, even if you're saving $100 a month, like, that's
something. Good. Honestly, it's something. It's Like, the reason why I save though is because I'm so scared that something is going to happen. Like, even this year, so many people are currently in bad positions. So many people became, well, they're in bad positions because of COVID. They had to stop working. Some people weren't eligible to get this, or they weren't able to get that. And, you know, nobody really had a savings account. And I'm not one to judge anyone because I know the financial situation for most Americans. Most people can't even save. People are living paycheck to paycheck. But if you think about having 3 to 6 months saved up, like how, like, I just feel like that would just give me a sense of just comfort knowing that I have that money somewhere just in case an emergency happened. Like, what if I can't work? What if I became disabled? Actually, it did happen to me this year when I was in a hospital for a month. Because my water broke. Like, literally, my finances, because I'm happy that I'm so into my finances where I had a savings and I had things in place for an emergency. But I'm just thinking, like, oh my goodness, what if I didn't? I was out of work for 5 months.
Yeah, it's scary to even think about it. You gotta plan accordingly. You weren't,
And you never think it's gonna be you. Like, you could have never told me that would have been me this year. But stuff happens, so. I just think everyone should plan accordingly. And even if you start at $50 a month or $50 every time you get paid, that's something. Because eventually, if you need to pull $500 for an emergency, at least you have it. You're not out, down bad and out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and people pick and choose what you want. Like, you know, even if it's like they say a lot with Starbucks, you go to Starbucks, you spend at least $8. And if you do that 2-3 times a week, that's a lot of money that you could have put into your savings. So it's just maybe little things that you need to stop doing.
Yeah.
You know, just stop going to Starbucks and save that money from that.
That's
not a necessity.
That's very true. Even with getting like my nails done. So my job, they're so strict with nails. Like, you can't get your nails done. Well, actually, you can get them done, but you can't wear gel. And it's no point in me wearing nails that don't have gel on it. So I started getting my fingernails done all together. And that saved me money because I was going every 2 weeks. And I'm spending $35 to $40 every 2 weeks. That's $70, $80 right there.
Yeah.
Probably $100 because I was tipping.
Exactly.
You know, getting your hair done, going to get waxes. Like, don't get me wrong. You should, I feel like you work and you should still take care of yourself and treat yourself to certain things. But even limiting, like, how often you travel. Like, I think I look back now at, like, when I first became a nurse and how often I was traveling. Yeah, it was fun. But it's like all of that. I can't tell you where my money went the first 2 years of nursing. Like, yeah, I don't know where that money went. Like, I have nothing to show for it.
It's so easy for money to just go.
But I'm being honest. It's like when you think about it, like, we made decent money. I was living at home still. Where was that money? Like, I'm actually mad about it now.
Girl, I don't even want to say don't own shit.
Okay, don't own a thing.
It's some good,
but been everywhere.
But it's cool because we were young. It's 23 years old, coming out of school, making, you know, some good money. You know, you learn from that, and now three years later, and shit, investing, and you know, that's just part of growth. So,
yep. But I think that pretty much wraps it up.
I agree. So if you guys have any questions, you guys can always DM us. Like we say, our Instagram is open. Both pages, our personals and our nurse-ish Instagram page is always open. Soon, we keep saying we're going to do this, but we really are going to do this. We're going to do a live question and answer type of thing that Instagram has. So we're going to do that hopefully within this next week. I'm just trying to get our schedules aligned. So we're going to be doing that. So hopefully you guys will tune in and look forward to us doing that.
And yeah, with our Instagram. And
so our Instagram is at nurse_ish, which is ISH.podcast. And let me try to look at what the Twitter is. So our Twitter is @nurse_ishpc. So make sure you guys follow us on there. Give us feedback, all of the above.
All right. Bye, you guys.
Bye.